Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
But last night, after calling his first ever conference finals game, he's going to be late for us. So
no,
he's no longer Harlan!
Of course
he's
he is.
He's timing us, Harlan!
I was on time.
You were.
I was on time.
It was us.
Yeah, we're having phone issues. It's good now.
It was us. How are you, my friend? How does it feel?
I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
The defense on Doncic, although I hear he's sick today. I guess he was up most of the night and ill, and I don't know that. I've heard it now from two different people, so I'm assuming it's probably true, but the body language that he showed, just the zest that he showed in game seven in Phoenix was not there last night. And I'm not sure if perhaps he was a little bit under the weather. He didn't play like he played in the Sun series, that's for sure. And they needed every ounce of what he gives them. And that was not apparent. But all that being said, the story is, kind of for the first time, it looked like the Warriors that we had all kind of, I think, in our minds thought we would see once the big three got on the floor at the same time. They've had to kind of look at different rotations, figure out. They haven't played that much together this year because of injuries and everything else. And now, in the most important time of the year, they're together, they're healthy, and everyone's got to kind of adjust a little bit or refresh their memory on what it was like when all three were out there, because now you've added Poole. You're just different. You're just different, as time would tell you. And it looks like last night kind of was the culmination of all the moves up and down and sideways in the first two series against the Nuggets and the Grizzlies, and showed with some days off rest, a chance to kind of let things sink in, widen the lens, get a perspective on what has happened, what's coming, that all of it has kind of led to what we saw last night in game one, which was incredibly devastating for the Warriors, certainly.
Talking to Kevin Harlan, of course, great call last night for TNT in the Western Conference Finals, 112-87. The one thing is, while I'm optimistic, obviously, about this series, but the one thing is there was a lot of missed shots. They took 19 threes in the first 3 of 19, 11 for 48. Some of those shots will go down in game two, I would imagine, for the Mavs.
They should. They're a good shooting team. We know that. The number one three-point team in the playoffs and one of the best this year in the NBA. And they have constructed, really, I mean, they're so far ahead of where they thought they would be. They thought that they'd be in Cancun by now. They really didn't see a playoff win. They thought if we get to the playoffs with a big trade midseason, that's going to be pretty good. And they've had a lot of things work in their favor. Doncic came to the team after an Olympic rigorous schedule and other different national games he had to play. And he was not in shape to begin the year. And it took him until mid-December to kind of get his paces. He missed some time with a bad ankle. They shut him down for double-digit number of games. And he came back, and there was a game they played, I think it was in New York, and then they went to Memphis. It was a road trip on the East that ended up in Memphis. I have to go back and look at the schedule. I think it was in December. And he really turned the corner. He felt like himself. He had lost some weight. The pudginess was gone, and he began to cook. Then they traded Porzingis, and they got Bertans, an outside shooter, but most importantly, they got a third playmaker in Dinwiddie. And from that point on, they were on a roll. And I read this the other day in our Game 7 down in Phoenix, John and Greg, that since January 1st, the best record in the NBA, the most wins in the NBA since January 1st, was Phoenix with 37. The second-place team with the most wins was Dallas with 35. And that surprised me when I found the note, and even surprised me when I said it out loud. And it just shows you what a transformation they've made. They hung their head on defense. Doncic got in shape. They used a five-out offense where they've got guys about the same size, small ball, but they're long, and they're like 6'7". And they believe kind of in the approach Kidd took with them. And he has changed as a coach as well. Like, so all these things are going on. And then they end up number four, and they play Utah, and they beat them. And then they take on the number one seed, and they beat them. And now they've got, you know, this incredible challenge of taking on the Warriors. So for Dallas even to be here is a stunner. But maybe what shouldn't stun any of us is that when you've got a Kerr and a Curry and a Clay and Draymond, that you knew sometime here in the postseason they were going to find that recipe. And it may not be the 15-16 Dubs. It may not be that team. But they're still, on any given night, show shades of what that team was and what they can still do. And we saw it last night in Game 1.
So in late December, they came out to play Sacramento in back-to-back games, Kev, on December 29 and New Year's Eve. And they lost the first game. And after that game on the 29th, they fell to 16-18. They wound up 52-30. So do the math. They caught fire, and Luka played himself into shape. And even after he had the injury late in the year, they were able to come back from losing the first game to Utah, and Jalen Brunson went off. And then you saw it close hand, that they lost the first two to Phoenix, and you called that series, and they came back. But I want to go back to what you're saying about Luka being ill, because when you watched him in Game 7, the game you and Reggie called in Phoenix, he had that look in his eye. He looked like the Joker from Batman. He had that sinister Jack Nicholson look, didn't he? He was like, I don't know if there was somebody on the baseline that annoyed him, but every time he scored, he like snickered, and it was like, whoa, this guy is big time. Last night, I could see it from the jump. His body language, he didn't look good at all. He looked like he did everything a foot or two out further. Wiggins was on him. Wiggins slashed his face a little bit, and then obviously the shoulder. But you're hearing that now he is physically sick. Looking back at it and being so close to this athlete, do you think he was sick for last night's game, Kev?
Well, I don't want to diminish at all what the Warriors did, because it was, you know, sound and clear-cut, and there's no ambiguity there whatsoever. I'm just passing along something I've heard from two people, nobody in the Warriors organization and nobody in the Mavs organization, that he was up all night and sick. And I said to Stan Van Gundy during one of the breaks, Stan, this is not the guy that we just saw a couple nights ago in Phoenix win that Game 7. I mean, he was phenomenal. And he's 23, and I think the consensus that I think he's going to be a first-team All-NBA player again, you know, which is the elite of the elite in the league. He deserves it. He plays a different kind of game. He's got the, you know, the strength and physicality that we all know about, this shot, but this confidence, which he wears plainly for everybody to see. And the animated guy that we saw in the wins in Dallas and then the Game 7 win in Phoenix, it was not even there. And I know, like, he doesn't blink at the sight of, I mean, listen, going up against this Golden State team, healthy and playing the way they are, you know, it would make any opponent kind of like, uh-oh, like, here comes the train through the tunnel. But that's not kind of how these guys are wired. They're loose, and there's no – I talked to somebody close to the team last night and said they're the same mindset they were in Phoenix. Like they're not supposed to be here. They're not supposed to be the number beat the number one team, which they did, best team in the league. And I don't think that really Golden State going into it holds, you know, anything different than what Phoenix held. Like, good opponent, yeah. We're not supposed to be here. We're kind of running on adrenaline and the emotion that we've picked up with these wins and now series, you know, wins. And so we're taking on, yeah, a historically good team with Hall of Famers on the team and sixth conference final in 8 years. We get that, but it's not like we're blinking. We're not. And so they were the same mindset coming in. Clearly, Doncic in his body language, not even close to what it was in game seven. So if he was sick and he scored 20 and did not look his self, and he was, what, 1 of 6, I think, in the second half, and he had somebody, you know, tailing him every inch of that floor last night. Wiggins was phenomenal. But they had others on him, too. It was a collective effort. But if he is ill, was ill, this may describe some of it. That being said, what the Warriors did last night, in my view, was like you know, it is all latched in. Like, right, they are buckled, secure, harnessed. They know exactly what they are, what they've got to do, who's got to do what. It shades of what we saw, you know, a couple handful of years ago, and that is scary.
As well said, Kevin Harlan, of course, has the Western Conference Finals on TNT. By the way, can you give us a little insight on this? Because we're confused. Charles doesn't like the Bay Area. He doesn't like San Francisco. Do you know why?
I don't know. Has he looked at the weather today? Did you see the weather yesterday?
I mean, we got food. We got wine. We got. What else is there? What else is there?
Who's ever uttered the words, Kevin? I hate San Francisco. No one. Except a few people.
No one has ever said that, right? I mean, like, I
Charles
think,
did.
Know, but he says stuff just because. Listen, the guy that said that is the same guy that spends his summers in Philadelphia. Because he loves Philadelphia.
That's true.
Right. Nothing against Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia as much as it. But come in here. I mean, come on. I mean, like, this is that building. We were driving in last night, and we came in a different way to go to the Chase Center, and we were driving along the water. And all of us, we were with Allie and our crew, and we all said, you know, that drive to Oakland from staying in downtown San Francisco where we stay, that got to be a bit of a kind of a nervous time actually for us, because you never knew when it was going to take 35, 40 minutes to get there, or it was going to take an hour and a half, hour and 45 to get there. You just never knew the traffic, if there was an accident or if there's construction or whatever was going on. And like, it always, like, we'd always go into those games in Oakland feeling like, okay, what do we got ahead of us? We're leaving early. You know, it's a 7:30 tip. We're leaving at like 3:30 to get there, and we just never knew. So we're driving in last night, and we're going through these kind of quaint, fun little neighborhoods and down along the water, and then, you know, you get by one building, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this beautiful glass, shiny, gorgeous building right on the water, and you think, wow, like this is big time. This is exactly what this city deserves and what the team deserves, and that location is so great. And then you couple that with the fan base, which, whether they're cheering on, you know, football or hockey or in this case, you know, basketball, like, this is where you want to go. Like, this is a destination. So I don't know why he would. I think he says some stuff, and, you know, just to kind of get people going. And didn't he call the women of San? Didn't he use a derogatory term about the women of
San Antonio?
San Antonio and their physical appearance. Yeah. And so this is kind of what he does.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
He does. Well said. And what you do now is call the Western Conference Finals, my friend. And I watched your entire broadcast last night, starting with, you know, Chuck and Ernie and the guys in the set threw it to you, and you had the great line that whenever Reggie gives you the fist, that means to shut up, like Chick Hearn always told Hot Rod Hudley and apparently Patricia Riley back in the early 70s, Kevin. But you know, for Chick and Johnny Most and in our market, Bill King, and I know, you know, you like I grew up listening to Marv and idolizing Marv, and Marv had the seat that you occupied last night for 22 years. And you've called the biggest, you've called Super Bowls on the radio, Monday Night Football. You've called so many big moments. But was last night the one moment where you had it? You never show butterflies at all. But were you a little bit nervous that this is the Western Conference Finals and I'm doing this after Marv Albert? Wow. That's a big assignment.
It is. There's a lot there to digest. And, you know, you and I, Greg, came in early into this league as kids out of college. You and I are about the same age. We're family men. We've got kids ourselves. You know, there's a lot of moments in your life that you think about and appreciate: the birth of a child, graduation, a job, a marriage, all that. You know, we all are involved in all those things. But there are times when your profession, you know, signals like, hey, now this is a moment where you get put on the brakes and appreciate it. And I've known this for a couple months, and as I knew about the All-Star assignment, and I always go into everything expecting nothing and thankful for everything. Like if they had called and said, you're not doing it, or if my deal at wherever I work would not come through and I'd be cut loose, I'd be thankful that I had the chance to do it. And thankful for that opportunity, which so many very worthy people in our business never get a chance to do. And so I don't live, I guess my dad probably taught me this. He said, just be thankful for everything comes your way, because nothing should be expected, and don't let ever jealousy creep into anything. Just be thankful that you've got this opportunity. So that's kind of how I look at it. And then, as you say, with Marv, who is the legendary voice of this league, and there will be never another broadcaster, even as great as Mike. I just talked to Mike Breen yesterday for about a half hour on the phone, and he's a very good friend and a person I really admire in so many different ways. And Mike would tell you that, you know, there'll only be one Marv Albert, like there's only going to be one Vin Scully, and here only one Bill King. And these are guys with voices and broadcast styles that are untouchable. And I look at that like this. So I am in his seat, but it is his chair, Marv Albert's, as it was at the All-Star game. I truly believe that. Like, I feel like when I do the Monday night games on radio or one of those Super Bowls, I always pause for a moment and thank God that I'm in that slot and how lucky I've been, fortunate in every regard. But I, at the same time, realistically, I know that Jack Buck was in that seat for 17 Super Bowls, not consecutively, but for 17. Before him, Jim Simpson and Lindsey Nelson and Don Crickey and like all these great names. So I'm just there now. I may not be there next year or in 5 years from now, but I've had a chance. And just to, like, going back to your original point, being in that setting, in that stadium, with those fans, because these fans are different here. And that atmosphere, that culture with this organization is just different than most in the league. So to have that as the first game of the Western Conference assignment is a pretty significant thing. And it was not lost on me last night. And I thought of Marv. I thought of the people before him, Costas, who has been in that seat, and Dick Stockton, Hall of Famer. He's been in that seat. And so it's pretty special. And I'm glad you said something about it, because I think about that kind of stuff all the time.
It's awesome to hear you. It's great. And we hear you're getting Tom Brady money too. So that's even better.
I just want Papa money. I want great.
Yeah. Harlan!
I want Papa money. I want Harlan. The money.
So I know you're
money.
All.
Show me the money.
He's going all Rod Tidwell on me. Now.
I love it.
Don't start crying. I know you're all excited about this assignment in the Bay Area, great. But let's face it. When you come here in August for Packers at 49ers preseason game at Levi's,
oh.
That's going to be way bigger. And just tell the audience about your dad. You mentioned him casually. Your dad, Bob Harlan, was the president of the Green Bay Packers for decades and decades and decades, and you grew up around professional sports and to live the life that you lived as a young man. I mean, obviously, you're a product of who your mom and dad are, Kevin.
Well, yes, I am. My dad is my biggest hero. He was with before the Packers. He was, first of all, he was Al McGuire's first sports information director at Marquette. He
wow.
went to Marquette. My dad did. He was a journalism major. He worked for UPI just out of college and then accepted the SAD job at Marquette. And he was with Al McGuire.
Was he the one that wrote the bogus line about the players and the bird calling that they did? Was that your dad who did that?
No.
You never heard that story?
No, I've heard the story. No, I know.
It wasn't your dad?
No, it's not. I don't think it was him. And then he went to the baseball Cardinals. So when I was a kid, we lived there for 5 years. But when we were there, and he was the media relations director for the baseball Cardinals, they had Bob Gibson, and they had Lou Brock, and Kurt Flood, and Roger Maris, and Mike Shannon, and Tim McCarver. And I remember on multiple occasions watching Gaylord Perry and Juan Marichal and the Giants come into Busch Stadium in St. Louis. When I was like 6, 7, 8 years old, my dad, we'd go to church. My day was Sunday to go to the game. So we'd go to church. We'd drive downtown to downtown St. Louis, go to Busch Stadium. And invariably walking in would be Jack Buck or Harry Carey. And I remember clearly Vin Scully because his voice was so different than anybody else. But I also remember Bob Prince and Lindsey Nelson. And all these great baseball broadcasters, when the Mets or the Giants or the Pirates or the, you know, whoever would come in, or the Dodgers would come into Busch Stadium. And as a 7, 8-year-old kid, I would sit in my seat for about an inning and then roam around because I had the pass, and I would sit in the back of the KMOX broadcast booth and, eat my popcorn and drink my Coke, and no one would know I'm there. And I'd watch Harry Carey and Jack Buck on a sweltering St. Louis afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, doing Cardinal baseball, and they'd be in their shorts, like their drawers. They'd take off their pants, they'd be in their drawers, and they'd do games in their T-shirt. It was so hot. I mean, I'll allot it. Then we went. Then he went to Green Bay to run their front office, and eventually became the president. And I've always told people I've had a chance to look. That's how I got involved, because I saw press boxes and how broadcasters and watch practices from sidelines and from dugouts. I was born not on third base. I was born at home plate. I was given the ultimate behind the scenes look and view of what a life in this business could be like. So like I went back and said before, I'm just thankful that I've had this. And I feel like if I don't give my full effort and show complete appreciation, that I'd be cheating the experiences and the luck that I've been given and the chance to, you know, do the most with being given so much. So I love the business. The best part for me at this age, at this stage in my career, is being on, Greg, with you, seeing you in press boxes. We saw each other up in Lambeau for that game against the Packers in a snowy playoff game, and gave you a hug, and I'll give you a hug when I see you in August at that preseason game. But talking to two guys like you, the best in the business, and just being in a city like this and involved with this series, like I said, nothing is lost on me. I am blessed beyond measure and more than I deserve, but appreciate everything that I've been so lucky to have come across my path.
I'll tell you, you've earned every second of it, and you're one of the rare ones, because I'd watch about any game, but any game you're on, I watch, because your enthusiasm, your love for the game, everything, your passion, it all comes through in a broadcast, and it's awesome. You deserve it all.
Well, Your very kind words and coming from you, I'm most appreciative. Thank you. That's nice.
And Kevin, life has become full circle. I just wish we had smartphones back in the 60s for you to take a picture of Jack Buck and Harry Carey doing a game in their chonies. What would that sell for?
Listen,
that would be insane.
That would be amazing.
I think you can Google it. I had years ago when I was doing the University of Missouri, a fan had brought up a picture, and it's just of Harry Carey in the broadcast booth in his drawers doing a game. I think you can Google it. I think if you look, you'll find it. And I said, that's what I saw. That's what I saw.
So what do I punch in? I mean, Harry Carey in his drawers?
I think I've seen it, actually. Maybe Harlan will be sitting there to his right. Did he offer you a beer? What were you, like 10? Hey, kid, here's a Budweiser.
Look, you'll find it. I think it could be in there. Harry Carey, hot summer baseball broadcasting in St. Louis.
I see it. Oh, no.
Do you see it?
Well, it says announcer Harry Carey wearing only underwear.
Oh, I see it right here. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Yep.
Well, Getty Images.
Think how scarred I am. I saw every Sunday after church.
and he's got the patent leather shoes on and the Argyle socks.
That's all he's wearing.
Up to his knees. This is a look. But anyway, the point I wanted to make is my sons, for you going in that booth with Harry and Jack, two of the best that have ever done it, for my two sons and John's son, George, mm-hmm. you are the Harry and Jack Buck of this generation. So, but I never want to see you like I'm looking at Harry Carey right now. And what's the hair he's got going on, John? This is quite the dude he's got.
Beautiful.
This is insane.
Greg, I know Greg has told this story. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, for that Packer game at Lambeau in January, the playoff game, when it was just as cold as witches
hell.
Behind, you had your shoes off, didn't you?
Well, you know why I did? I went 4-3-2 that night. It was the opposite of Harry Carey. I went four layers on top, three on my legs, and then I went double ski socks, and I couldn't get my boots on, my after ski boots on, so I took them off. But so I just went feet, Kevin. I'm not doing the Harry Carey here. I want to commit Harry Carey after seeing this picture. What the hell is this? Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man.
Ah. How did you grow up so well adjusted after visualizing this?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. This is priceless. My friend, you killed it last night. You're going to kill it every single night. I know you have the humility and the appreciation, and you spoke of it, but you are richly deserving in everything you're doing. So just continue to make our industry proud as you always do. Thank you. Congratulations.
No, you're the best. I love you, Greg. Thank you for having me on, John. Good to be with you guys. I really appreciate it. And can't wait for game two tomorrow. And, you know, there is all those fans that watch this, you know, for 41 nights a year, they know it. But it's like an honor to sit there and watch Curry and Clay and Green manipulate a game and do what they're doing and passing it on to the younger guys, Kuminga and Poole, and watching them. And it's beautiful. I was saying to Stan and Reggie both, they said, isn't it beautiful to watch this team when they're humming, like the cutting and there is a grace about it, which few, if any, other teams right now that we're watching have. They're mesmerizing. You just can't take, when they're playing, when they're cooking, it's basketball nirvana. It's everything that's good about this game. And boy, it was fun last night to watch, and I'm not rooting for either team. I don't care if the Dubs win or the Mavs win, quite honestly. I only hope that Turner has a good broadcast, but if you're a basketball fan, I don't know how you can't watch what they did last night and what they do when they're at their peak, and the way they move, it's poetry. It's beautiful basketball.
That is awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Keep it up, and we'll be watching. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks so much. Great to be on with you. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
You too.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.